hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely magnificent day today. Lots of stuff has been going on over the weekend. I've been looking at a few things here this morning, and just a lot of stuff going on. One thing I noticed, Dad, this morning was that the number of earthquakes is actually doubled, almost tripled in the last 72 hours, all the way from Japan to Indonesia and also to Australia, which is the full ring of fire. So as I told everybody before, always be prepared. But on a other note, how are you doing today, bud?
Awesome. I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's about 72 degrees up here, clear blue skies, a few chemtrails here and there up in North Carolina right now. So weather's really, really nice up here. So it's been a wonderful weekend, and just happy to be back with you guys today. We had to play a tape on Friday, in case any of you noticed. We had a problem with Globalstar. Their system got hacked, apparently, right before we went on the air. And surprise, surprise, that doesn't surprise anybody who basically listens to the show. But just for the fun of it, I took a show that we had done a few months back, and I played it. Probably one of the best shows we've ever done on Friday of last week. That's in the archives. And it really attacked the globalists. So I'm letting them know now, whenever our system goes down, you're going to get a show that's going to be playing for tapes. It's going to be a whole lot better than any show you thought I was going to do that day. I just thought I'd mention that to anybody listening right now, because it's ridiculous that this is happening on a regular basis now. But I'm not surprised because of all the deplatforming that's taking place. By the way, large-scale immigration raids failed to materialize. ICE agents attempted raids in at least two New York City neighborhoods. Remember, this is the week that we're going to have millions of people deported, and nothing's really happening. But it makes for good fodder for the news. It makes for good fodder for Trump. But we have to realize that the globalists are running the planet. The guys who took down Building 7 are still running the planet, have run it for a long, long time. And they don't want to deport illegals out of the United States. They want to bring more and more and more and more in to continue to destroy the national fabric of our society and the people in our society, as far as to be direct with you, they want to get rid of the white people. There you go. And they also want to get rid of black patriots. They want to get rid of black patriots and white patriots, and they just want to get rid of us. And they don't really like Hispanic patriots either. They want to get rid of everybody who believes in the United States, and they just want to destroy the country and bring us into a new world order. That's why the large-scale immigration has not taken place. By the way, Breitbart, toxic masculinity comedy, Stuber dies at the box office. Interesting movie came out. They had some pretty good previews for it, but apparently it was a big bomb to start with. Another weekend, another woke comedy. This time it was Stuber bites the box office dust. What, you mean Americans are interested in paying $12 for a lecture about the dangers of toxic masculinity? So apparently the word is out that the Stuber is another one of these how bad guys are and how bad toxic masculinity is, and it's sad. By the way, Epstein now, this whole thing getting involved now that everybody knows that Epstein was involved with the Mossad, which we broke that last week, is now saying that the Epstein scandal has broken in Israel as ties to the former prime minister is under scrutiny. Jeffrey Epstein's arrest is reverberating in Israel. Of course, the Mossad was leading and orchestrating what he was doing, using that as basically, how should I say, blackmail against these leaders in America and around the world, where Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his right-wing Likud party are calling for a criminal probe into former Prime Minister Ehud Barak's personal and business ties with the accused sex trafficker, Israel media is reporting. Barak, 77, served as a prime minister from 1999 to 2001. This month he formed a new party to run for prime minister against Netanyahu. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Let me just stop for just one second. This is starting to make sense. I think this is probably why Epstein's been sacrificed to the political people there in Israel and in the United States. Because just think what's happening here. This guy basically served as prime minister. He started to basically formed a new party to run for prime minister against Netanyahu. And suddenly he's being linked to Jeffrey Epstein, the Mossad asset here in the United States. The Mossad asset, who basically has run out of, how should I say, gasoline to keep him going as far as grabbing young girls and continuing to do what he's been doing. So now Epstein's being sacrificed so Netanyahu can stay in longer. Just thought I'd say that. I'm not saying that I'm right about that, but that sure is a heck of a coincidence that happened. Also, I want to also cover with you this weekend, Alexandra, Chica, the girl who puts down the Forbidden Knowledge TV, she did a really, really good article, and she basically talked about what happened with Steve Penichek and what he just in an article he released. Now, see, Steve Penichek is basically a. I'm going to read you what she wrote. This is the guy you like. He's Dr. Penichek. He's a psychiatrist, MD from Harvard University, also CIA. Steve Penichek was born in Havana. Now, about 90% of what he says is accurate. I'm going to tell you where he basically goes off track here. Penichek was born in Havana, Cuba, east of Eastern Europe, Jewish parents. He was raised in France and in the United States, where he received degrees in psychiatry and international relations from Harvard, Cornell, and MIT. He served as deputy assistant of Secretary of State under Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, and Jim Baker, and has collaborated on two best-selling series with spy novelist Tom Clancy. He's also CIA. Penichek says that the Jeffrey Epstein case touches on both 9/11 and on the future of Israel, and the takedown of Epstein is a warning to Israel to make peace with Palestine. I don't believe that. He goes, I believe it's to make sure that Benjamin Netanyahu stays in office. He goes on to say that Israel was involved in 9/11 and in the stand down of the United States. This was confirmed to him by former Secretary of Defense Paul Wolfowitz, as well as a deputy and by two his deputy and by two Israeli Mossad operatives who Penichek interrogated and had put away, whatever that means. He says Jeffrey Epstein's pedophilia ring was a Mossad operation. Are you guys listening? Same thing we said last week. Jeff Epstein was picked out by the Mossad as the proper agent of influence because, number one, he was grandiose. Two, he had some intelligence, but he came from a poor Jewish background, had no real education, did not speak a foreign language, and was so narcissistic that they could manipulate him up and down. Penichek also claims that Epstein's girlfriend, Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, was his Mossad control operative and the daughter of Robert Maxwell, one of the greatest crooks in the world, who was an Israeli Mossad operative, one of the biggest contributors to the Israeli national security of anybody. Penichek explains that the use of honey traps, this is what we talked about on the show, how Jared Kushner may have been used as a honey trap with Ivanka Trump to get her to have babies with him, get married to him, and be able to do what he wanted to have done in the White House. Penichek explains that the use of honey traps by the Mossad in intelligence operations is widespread, and the use of children in sexual entrapment operations is an extremely effective way to gain control over a targeted subject. In other words, have sex with an underage girl. He says this technique was developed to great effect by two Mossad chiefs, Ephraim Havili and Danny Yeda. This Mossad just keeps coming up, don't they, guys? Remember, the Mossad is a Rothschild creation with the formation of Israel. Remember, it's always the Rothschilds. The Mossad encouraged so many operatives that were involved with pedophilia under the Epstein ring and under the NXIVM ring. This is the one that had Chloe Sullivan from the Superman series, Smallville, under the NXIVM ring with the two Brofman daughters that you're talking about. Thousands of people involved in screwing little children. There you go. I just say it that way. Now, it also goes all the way up into the presidents. This is from Steve Penichek. This is a quote. It goes into the Bush family, Bush Jr., Jeb. It goes into the Clintons. As we know, Hillary Bill Clinton, who's a pathological liar to the ninth degree, to Obama, who had a history of homosexuality and pedophilia, all the way down to the Bushes and beyond that. This is Jeff. This is Penichek. I'm quoting him. Jeff Epstein was a willing operative. He willingly was involved in pedophilia, and the Israelis knew that. The Mossad knew that. That's why they used him. They created his storyline that made believe he was a billionaire. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I told you guys this last week. Wexler was a theoretical backup man to him. So we have a lot of corruption here, which goes all the way back to 9/11, okay, when Silverstein, who had the lease to World Trade Center, basically made billions of dollars from it. We had Lowry, we had Lauder, and we had Eisenberg, all of whom were involved in the stand down of the false flag of 9/11. And he says that all of these people that were involved in this were Jewish and linked to the Mossad. So from 9/11 on, Trump understood that the Israelis have been involved in our intelligence service and that they are compromising America. He said he never forgot that. Now, what they're saying here, and this is why I disagree with this, I'm saying that Israel has been placed on notice because our ambassador, as well as Kushner, have made a very clear statement, Israel, you're on notice. That's simply not true. If you did not make a peace treaty with Palestinians, simply not true. There will be more serious repercussions you can imagine. Simply not true. The very beginning of the takedown of your Mossad operatives, simply not true. Will be put them in prison. Simply not true. It's just the beginning of what we can do to the future of Israel. Simply not true. All of this. So Penichek came in and told us 90% truth. I want you guys to get this with me. He told us 90% of what was absolutely true about all of it. He said, here's the truth. But then he comes out and says that this is being used against Israel to make them walk lockstep with the United States and stop doing what they're doing with the Palestinians. Simply not true. He twisted it all. He's using this as a narrative, almost like Q does, in which they give you 80 or 90% truth, and they come in and they say, oh, by the way, this is why we're doing it, is to make Israel tighten it down and to basically be good to Palestine. Simply not true. Trump is having subdivisions and entire developmental systems over there named after him. I mean, they've got a picture of him on the side of a coin with Cyrus, you know, on the opposite side of the coin with Cyrus as basically the benefactor of Israel to rebuild the third temple. All of this is being orchestrated by the Mossad, the Kabbalists, Luciferians, and these people who want the rebuilding of the third temple. All of it. That's who's running the show here. And what Penischek has been, he's been a longtime CIA disinformation officer. That's why I'm giving you this information right now. The man is brilliant. He's a PhD, he's an MD from Harvard University. The guy is absolutely just over-the-top smart. Once CIA, always CIA as far as I'm concerned. And you got to be very, very careful with what these guys disclose because, again, a lot of it is used for psychops. If you watch some of his videos, he has these weird paintings in his background, some of the older ones. I mean, some weird stuff like torture scenes. I mean, some weird sick stuff. You think, what the heck, man? What are you trying to do? Guys, everything that Penischek does is to manipulate you in the mind. He's giving you the truth about all the stuff he told you. And then he says, oh, by the way, we're doing it because Trump's in charge and Trump's giving Israel and Kushner's giving Israel notice. Now, let me tell you something. Kushner is deep, deep, deep Mossad. I think he was a honey trap for Ivanka. That's what I think. I believe that they're completely controlled by the Kabbalists, the Luciferians, the Shabbat groups that they're attending and had given hundreds of thousands of dollars to, and they're absolutely involved in Kabbalah. I'm telling you this, guys. This is because the Shabbat people practice Kabbalah. So all of this stuff is tied together with the rebuilding of the third temple, and we're just being told information to try to get us to calm down and to shut up. And now we all know that Epstein, which is crazy they actually released this information like this because it was already out in the alternative news anyhow, has been shown to be a Mossad operative. He's probably not even a real billionaire. Because remember what I told you guys? Get that billionaire's boys club. And for you to get to that level where you're worth billions of dollars, somebody's got to give you the nod. And a lot of times, you're not worth the money. They just put you as a front person, as a cutout, saying you're worth all of this money. And you may be indeed very wealthy like J.P. Morgan was, but you don't have the ability to go out and cash in, you know, 40, 50, 50, 100, $200 billion. You don't have the ability to do that. They don't give you that ability. The money's tied up into their trusts and their organizations and their corporate directorships, and you can't just walk around just to start taking out cash. They don't let you do that, but they put you as a front person. I believe that's the same. I believe this is true with Jeff Bezos. I believe this is true with, you know, with all of these other clowns, like with Facebook. All of these guys are basically put in that position as front people, including now Jeffrey Epstein. But here's the question. I was talking to Terrence yesterday about this. Here's the question. How do we know Trump's a billionaire? Let me ask you that question. How do we know that? How do you know? How does anybody know that Donald Trump's a billionaire after he's filed bankruptcy so many times and after he will not release his personal financial statements or tax returns? Think about that for a second. He won't release his personal financial statements. How do we know he really is a billionaire? How do we know that his net worth is not lower than whatever because of the debt he's accrued? I mean, if you've got $50 billion in debt and you've got you've got $45 billion worth of assets, you're $5 billion in the hole. You're not a billionaire. You're like in the bottom. You're like broke. You have no money. You file bankruptcy. How do we know Trump's not like that? You know, when Wilbur Ross, a Rothschild agent, bailed Trump out back in the 80s from his multiple bankruptcies, how do we know Trump is this quote unquote phenomenal business guy that everybody says that he is? How do we know that? We watched him on the Apprentice for years and years and years. We know he's good at firing people. We got that. But how do we know he wasn't reading a script the entire time he was on The Apprentice? In fact, he probably was reading a script. Most of those shows are scripted. So how do we know anything that we've heard about Donald Trump is true? How do we know that he's a billionaire? That's the question I'm asking. We've never seen financials. We know he owns Mar-a-Lago. Or does he? Does he really own Mar-a-Lago? We haven't seen his financials. Does somebody else own Mar-a-Lago? Is it head over heel in debt? Think about what I'm saying, guys. How easy would it be to control him, put him in a situation like Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's a billionaire. Okay, now we're finding out that Jeffrey Epstein probably didn't have a pot to pee in, excuse my language, and basically he's been put in front and given money and financed by the Rothschild banking cartel. You watch, that's all going to come out too, if they allow that to come out. But think through all of this stuff. Why? Because it's like Otto Kahn said back in 1920. They control both sides of the narrative. They control what you see and what you hear. It's kind of like back in the old days when you go into the Outer Limits, you know, and you watch that thing at the beginning of the show and they say, you know, we're controlling your set. We're controlling this. We're controlling what you see and what you hear. You know, we're controlling what you think and what you visualize and all the things they used to say on those shows. Guys, think about that for a second. They're still doing it. They're controlling everything we think and hear. I mean, we called it out last week that Jeffrey Epstein was Mossad. It finally broke over the weekend. Think about that. Mossad. And now Pinchuk is coming out and saying that Israel was involved in 9/11. Wow. Think about what we're talking about here. This is some serious stuff. But yet, our Zionist friends, they continue to say, it doesn't make any difference. I have one lady that I know. She's a Zionist. And she's a writer. In fact, I knew her pretty well. And then we got into a sharp disagreement about Israel. And finally, I said to her, you mean you're telling me that if Israel starts World War III and they kill 7 billion people, almost wipe out the entire planet, that you're going to stand behind them, and they're going to, even if they did it for, that they weren't even provoked. She goes, absolutely, I'm standing behind Israel. I don't care if they wipe out the whole planet and everybody dies. I'm standing with Israel. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, this lady's kind of messed up in the head. And I quit sending her emails. I just figured that was enough of that. But guys, there's accountability here. You know, we're under a new covenant with God through Christ. We're not under the old covenant anymore. We don't have to rebuild the temple and start sacrificing things to animals to God. God's not requiring that from us. Jesus Christ is the forever sacrifice for our sins. He died once and for all so that we could all be redeemed from the curse of the law. He's the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. He's the one who did it for us, not the third temple. Always remember that, guys. What do you think, Austin? What's your first story?
Well, this is some interesting stuff here, because like you said, we talked about this last week, and when you said that about Trump, that kind of twisted the whole narrative for a second, but it really made me think about a lot of this stuff, because, you know, this is what I said last week with Epstein. I said, this guy's running around in a private 727 Boeing jet all around the world, making world trips on a weekly basis. You know, I mean, even if you were incredibly wealthy, you have to continually generate a significant amount of cash to be able to operate a plane like that on a daily, weekly basis globally. I mean, you're talking about spending hundreds of thousands of dollars a week just in jet fuel if you're flying globally. Remember the article that I read to you guys on Johnny Depp a couple months ago? How, you know, he had gotten hundreds of millions of dollars. Hundreds. I mean, like, what was it, $400-500 million in total contracts with Disney over the last, you know, couple of years with the whole Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. And he's burnt through almost all of it. They said that his average spending was like $2 million a month on his private jet. It was like $150,000 a month in wine consumption. When you go to that level where you just have frivolous amounts of cash flow and you can do whatever you want, do whatever you want until you run out of cash. I mean, you know, Johnny Depp burned through almost $500 million. So, I mean, when Epstein's running around doing all this stuff, that's kind of the big question. And again, how do we know a lot of these individuals haven't been funded by this? You know, when you start having people that run banks and they can do the, you know, the derivative swaps, and they can do the all the different, you know, 40 to 1 transactions as far as what they can do with the credit lending. Take, you know, $1 million in cash deposits, and they can lend out $40 million on it. They make money out of nothing. That's always been a concept that a lot of people have a hard time understanding with bankers, especially at the top. They don't produce anything. They don't build anything. They don't manufacture anything. They don't contribute anything. They don't make anything. All they do is make money by essentially usury and manipulation and money magic. When you can take $1 million on deposit and you can loan out $40 million off that and then charge 4%, 5%, 6% interest on those $40 million in loans, and you can make $2-3 million a year in interest off that $1 million that you have on cash deposits, you just make money off nothing. And that's exactly what these guys do. So when they need to bankroll somebody and they need to give somebody $500 million to do what they need to do, just do it. It's no big deal. And speaking of Bezos, this is interesting now. This came out last week, and this is something that, again, proves my point on why I keep telling everybody to stay away from Amazon. Amazon now has pretty much been shown, as I've said this so many times and hardly anybody ever believes me, now it's not even, there's not even any argument about it anymore. But Amazon is essentially an extension of the military-industrial complex and the CIA. The DOD put out what was called a Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure Proposal. It was designed to build the entire Department of Defense cloud infrastructure network, the entire cloud network for the DOD. They put a bid out for it last year, and essentially Amazon, Microsoft, Oracle, IBM, and Google were all the main contenders for this contract. This was a $10 billion contract, with a B, $10 billion contract to just build the cloud server for the DOD. This didn't even include the backside money generated of maintaining the cloud once everything was in place. That was going to be another system that was going to go on even further. Well, what's interesting is, imagine this, Amazon won the $10 billion contract. IBM and Oracle have both filed suits in court now stating that the contract was unfairly written in full favor of Amazon to win the contract before the contract even was basically opened up to them. They've had multiple attorneys involved in it now, and essentially from the beginning it was designed for Amazon to get the contract. Everybody else just having the option, like IBM and Google and Microsoft, they essentially just were there to make it look like it was a fair option. Amazon had the $10 billion contract from the beginning. So think about this for a second. We technically have a private company, allegedly, that has gotten another contract. You guys remember, what was it, 10, 12 years ago, Amazon got the CIA cloud, or not, it wasn't even cloud back then, it was the servers, to handle the servers for the CIA. These servers for the CIA started off as a $600 million contract right off the rip, and then continued to go on. Now they're getting a $10 billion contract to build the cloud service for the Department of Defense. Amazon is just an extension of the United States intelligence system now. They're intelligence. That's all Amazon is. And we know, think about this, you add it in, Amazon monitors everything you do. They have algorithms on everybody's account. They have Alexas in a large amount of people's houses, including other systems that listen to everything you do. They've already gotten busted. It's already come out that they have people listen to your conversations even when you're not saying something like, Alexa, turn the AC on. They listen to everything. I talked about that a couple months ago, where individuals, they were flagging stuff if there were words that were said, like spying on you. They already do that. So now we know they got another $10 billion contract to build the servers, the cloud servers for the DOD. Amazon is the deep state, guys. There's a reason why Jeff Bezos went from basically broke to worth $170 billion, or whatever we're told he's worth, like Dad said earlier. I mean, how in the world do you acquire that much capital, that much cash, that much net worth that quickly from a company that essentially sells books at the beginning? Well, you get $100 million contracts over and over and over and over again from the deep state, from the intelligence committee, the intelligence groups, and then get a $10 billion contract from the DOD. So just to kind of tie all that into that, I saw that stuff this morning, Dad, and I was reading it, and we already knew a lot of this, but to see it so blatant, and now IBM and essentially Oracle are filing lawsuits because they said it was blatantly written for Amazon to win, this shows you again why you don't need to support Amazon, because you are literally supporting the intelligence groups and the CIA with every dollar you spend with Amazon. That's just at least my opinion.
Well, you know, in Germany, they figured out the fascist model worked very well. When the government and big business work together, and they basically, the government owns part of big business, and they can put out contracts, which is exactly what we have now here in the United States with these big organizations, government entities, CIA, deep state entities running the largest online retailer in the world, okay, which is trying to take over the entire planet. It was so funny yesterday. I went to a farmer's market, And I walked into the farmer's market. There was a guy there selling wine. And he's a young guy. He's in his 20s. And he started talking about how the rich, the elite. He's saying this out loud in the farmer's market, how the rich elite, this is a guy who basically owns this wine thing, are basically ruling the world and controlling the world with their fiat currency and their money. And he started broadcasting this across this farmer's market because there was nobody there yet. And he's talking to some other vendors. And I walked up to him and I said, you're exactly right. He goes, well, it's the rich people. I said, well, no. Let's remember who it is now. It's not the rich people. I said, there are a lot of business owners that have become successful. There are a lot of business owners that are, worth $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $4 million, $5 million, $10 million. There's a lot of them. But when you start getting worth $50 billion, $100 billion, $200 billion, $200 million, a billion, suddenly you've got to get the nod. Somebody has to finance that kind of money for you. Somebody has to give you the ability to do this. This is one of the reasons that Ford hated the international Jewish banking community so much. I mean, Ford hated these guys. Henry Ford, the founder of Ford Motor Company, because what happened? When he first started Ford, he got money for expansion, got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they tried to take over Ford Motor Company by refusing the floor plan, the units being sold to his individual dealer network. They were trying to basically do an end around and take over his company, and from that point on, he hated them. And he wrote all kinds of books and treatises and all kinds of stuff about these guys, these international bankers, and why he hated them so much. And said that every time you find something wrong in the world, you dig deep enough, you find one of these guys at the bottom of it. And in most cases, he's right. He's right that because these guys control the money supply. And Jeff Bezos, this guy, if you ever listen to him talk, he sounds like a moron. I mean, you got to figure this. And this guy is worth $170 billion. No. We don't, like Austin said, like I said earlier, we don't know what he's worth. Have no idea what he's worth. We don't know what Trump's worth. He won't release his financials. We don't know what any of these guys were. Now we know that Epstein was just a fake. He wasn't a billionaire. But they got to make him a billionaire. They got to make him a billionaire. They got to tell the world that he's a billionaire. He's got to be grandiose. And he's got to have this ego going on because they want people to believe he's a billionaire because he's flying around in a private jet all around the world every week, like Austin talked about. And you can't do that as a millionaire. No way. Can't do it. Can't afford it. Look at Johnny Depp. He couldn't do it. You have to have billions and billions and billions of dollars. Everybody goes, well, nobody knows where his money came from. What's because he doesn't have any money. Somebody else is paying the bills. And now, personally, I think we saw the story break now, is that he's being thrown under the bus because we've got another party going against Benjamin Netanyahu. And suddenly Jeffrey Epstein basically is found to be this giant pedophile and this whole case is coming back out again. Guys, this is how these guys think. This is what they do. By the way, chemicals in nail polish, this is for the ladies, has now been linked to cancer, autoimmunity, obesity, and hormone disruption. I kid you not. The popularity of mani-pedicures in dangerous consumers, salon and spa workers, and manicurists alike via exposure to toxic chemicals with well-defined health consequences. It is no secret that our skin is the largest absorptive organ, and that what we apply topically penetrates its way into our systemic circulation, pervading our every tissue. Our skin is, after all, even at its thickest points, only a few millimeters thick. Although most are aware of the detriment posed by chemicals and personal care products applied to the skin, which shimmy their way into our cells, tissues, and organs, fingernail polish is oftentimes overlooked as the nails are perceived as sturdier structures, less permeable to chemical agents. However, the capillary bed and the cuticle surrounding the nail, in tandem with solvents that render the nails more absorbent, may lead to increased absorption of the cocktail of chemicals in nail polish, which elicit tangible effects upon our physiology. Formaldehyde, for one, is a preservative in nail polish that confers protection against microbial growth. A colorless, white, soluble aldehyde is a highly reactive substance due to strong electrophilic properties. In other words, what they're telling you, that you've got formaldehyde, you've got toluene, you've got DBP, dibutyl phthalate, triphenyl phosphate, all of these chemicals are all tied together with nail polish. And the autoimmune connection is simply this, that these compounds have been linked to autoimmune disease. So a lot of people out there that have different things like lupus and other autoimmune diseases, maybe you need to ask yourself a question. If you have liver disease, what in the world are you putting on your fingers, especially if you're the person putting this on other people and you're breathing this stuff all day? Remember, guys, this stuff is extremely poisonous. If I walk in to get my hair cut and somebody's had like a permanent or whatever in the place or have their nails done or whatever, that's why I try to go to barber shops because you don't have to deal with all that. you know, I get like an immediate headache. And you ask yourself, well, why does that happen? Well, here's why that happens. These chemicals are basically shed from these compounds. That's why you smell them. And they're floating around in the air. And when you inhale these chemicals, they get down into your bloodstream via your lungs and can give you instantaneous headaches. That's why I always tell folks, if I'm going to get, you know, my hair cut, you know, if you're not a barber, I need to know if you guys do permanents and basically do nail polishing, because if you do, I'm not even going to come in your shop. I'm just going to get my hair cut somewhere else. That's why I try to stay with the same barber all the time in Central Florida while I'm down there. But guys, it's very important to realize that when you put this stuff on your body, it really increases the toxic load on your system. My wife used to wear using nail polish all the time when we first got married, and when she finally realized how bad it was, she got away from it. Now, there are some organic nail polishes. They don't last as long. They don't have a lot of these chemicals in them, but you can get them at the health food stores. But just be very, very careful with it. By the way, J&J drops 4% of report as the DOJ investigated the allegations of the company lied about talc cancer risks. I broke this story many, many years ago. This is Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson had baby powder contains talc, and talc is massively increases the risks of ovarian cancer. And I've talked about this for years and years and years, and this is as bad as what happened with Monsanto and the cancer risks. They knew that this company, that talc basically caused cancer, but they continued to push it on people all of the time, including baby powder products made by Johnson & Johnson and Colgate-Palmolive. That came just 2 weeks after the company was ordered to pay $300 million in punitive damages to a woman in New York who blamed her cancer on the company's talc products. So I've warned people for over 30 years not to use talc, and T-A-L-C, talcum powder. It's one of those things that is incredibly toxic, and you should never put it on your skin. There are all kinds of baby powders out there that do not contain talc, so make sure you use those if you're going to be putting that kind of stuff on your skin, if you basically have a rash or whatever, or if you're having to use it for a baby rash. By the way, fluorinated water can calcify arteries, a new study finds. I've been telling you this for years. When you take the alum and the fluoride, you put it together, it's a massive increase. Alum is aluminum. They use it in the water to clarify the water, and they add the fluoride with it. It gives you a multiple increase of basically fluoride and calcification of the joints and the arteries in the body. If fluoride is put in your drinking water for your teeth without your consent, but you know it can also be calcifying your arteries. A few years ago, a report on a study evaluating a new diagnostic technology that inadvertently revealed a link between fluoride exposure and coronary artery disease. Been telling you this for years, guys. Our report stood up quite a bit of controversy and criticism. Even one of the most respected figures of the alternative medicine, Dr. Russell Blaylock, interpretation of an article. So Blaylock apparently was arguing with about that, and now the new study that was published in the Journal of Toxicology not only provides some vindication for our previous interpretation, but also raises serious concern over the cardiovascular complications associated with water fluoridation. Guys, on top of everything else, fluoride's going to harden your arteries. It's going to calcify your pineal gland. So hardening the arteries, there's not a big stretch right there. It's going to cause all kinds of problems with dental fluorosis and all kinds of bone problems. Yep. It's going to do all of this stuff. Fluoride is one of those things you've got to keep out of your body and out of your system at all times. Guys, I don't even want to rinse my mouth out with fluoride water. If I have to do it, like I'm brushing my teeth in a hotel, I try to use bottled water or my distilled water I brought with me, or I rinse my mouth out immediately with distilled water after I brush my teeth. You don't want this stuff in your system in any concentrations. What do you think, Austin?
Fluoride is one of the most toxic compounds that we are allegedly supposed to consume on a daily basis. It boggles my mind how toxic that compound is. The research has shown it for decades. This isn't conspiracy theory. This is nothing. You can do your research and find out in about 2 minutes how toxic fluoride is. Yet they tell us it needs to be in our water for our teeth. They tell us it needs to be in our toothpaste for our teeth. They say it needs to be in our mouthwash for our teeth. And of course, because you still haven't gotten enough of it, when you go to the dentist, they want to do fluoride treatment on your teeth because it's for your teeth. Ironically enough, dental fluorosis is an extremely common disorder, and it's characterized by a hypomineralization of the tooth enamel caused by ingestion of excessive fluoride. It doesn't make any sense to me at all how many people continue to believe the mainstream narrative about fluoride being healthy for your teeth. When you get slightly too much fluoride, your teeth get stained and become brittle and can actually start breaking apart. It's ironic because I've never used fluoride toothpaste, ever. dad's known about this stuff way before I was even born. Never used fluoride mouthwash. I've always drank usually distilled water, well water that was distilled. Never had a fluoride treatment dentist office. I used to always think it was funny when I was younger. We used to go into the dentist. Dad'd take me in there. And he'd be with me, and they'd say, we're going to do this, we're going to clean his teeth, we're going to do a fluoride treatment. He said, absolutely not. You do not have my consent under any circumstances to do a fluoride treatment to my son who is a minor. And they'd go, well, it's good for his teeth. And a lot of times he wouldn't even argue with them, because you can't argue with ignorance in most cases. And he'd just say, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not, no fluoride treatment. They would never do it. And to this day, I've yet to have a single cavity, which is ironic because almost everybody I know that has had cavities or their children has had numerous cavities are staunch users of fluoride, and they use it so much they believe it truly is good for you when it is directly linked to dental fluorosis, which is an unbelievably common occurrence now because of the massive amount of fluoride we're told to put our teeth in exposure to. So just thought that was interesting. Yes, it's just ridiculous on that. Also, too, in other news as well, it's interesting why you need to be very careful on the fish you eat. A man who's on an Alaskan cruise now basically got mercury poisoning. His wife said she ate nothing but halibut, lingcod, and salmon shark, which usually halibut's pretty clean. However, salmon shark, I know, can be real high in mercury. And he basically got back from the cruise, got extremely sick, and they did blood work on him. His blood came back at 35 nanograms per milliliter, which they say is very high because it needs to be under 10. And so he was in the hospital for 4 days. They got the mercury levels back down in his body to a safe range, I guess you could say. And he was released, but especially with Fukushima and everything that's going on right now, it's very, very, very important to understand where you're getting your fish from, what type of fish you're eating, not eating mystery feed, and also, on top of it all, eating clean fish. When you start eating a lot of this stuff, these really, really large predatory fish like shark, remember, they eat everything, pretty much. I mean, they'll eat anything. And so, I mean, a lot of those sharks and a lot of those unclean fish like that are really, really high in toxic metals, especially mercury, and it's something you really want to stay away from. Any other adds on that, Dan?
You know, I've written entire chapters in my Maximum Energy book on fluoride, and so you can read through all of that stuff. There's a book you can read by Yami Yadis. It's called Fluoride, the Aging Factor, that came out back in the 80s. And that book right there, Austin, is the reason you never got fluoride. Okay? This guy's a research biochemist, one of the top researchers in the field of fluoride, and the book's still in print. And if you can read that book, Fluoride, the Aging Factor, and you want to have fluoride, my only response is the fluoride's already lowered your IQ so much you don't want to believe the book. That's about it. I mean, the book is that damning as far as the evidence against fluoride and the toxicity. When fluoride comes into a municipal water treatment center and it comes in giant concentrated vats, tubs, you know, huge containers, it has skull and crossbones on it. Poison, 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 poison. And most of the people who work in these giant plants, when they see this poison symbol on this fluoride, when they pour it into the water supply, they won't drink the tap water because they know they just poisoned it. I mean, you pour it on the concrete, and if the vat breaks, it'll eat a hole right through concrete. I mean, this is hydrofluorosilicic acid. It's a byproduct of aluminum and fertilizer production. This is some toxic mess. But remember, it was used in the concentration camps in Germany during World War II to make the inmates servile and infertile. It's also the active ingredient in Prozac. It's also one of the active ingredients in, you know, one of the active components of Teflon. I mean, there's so many things that contain fluorine and fluoride compounds that you've got to be careful with. It's also the active ingredient in sarin nerve gas. I'm going to repeat that. That's one that they don't want to talk to you about much. The active ingredient in sarin nerve gas is fluorine gas. They just call it, instead of calling it fluorine gas, they call it sarin nerve gas because they don't want you to know that it's fluorine. And fluoride, because if you're asking too many questions, well, why am I putting a toxic nerve agent into my body? And that this stuff is so toxic with sarin nerve gas in concentrations, like a drop gets on you, it kills you. I mean, it's unbelievably poisonous. I mean, they had all those injections that all these guys had, you know, on them with them in case they got it on them so they could do an antidote to it, you know, in the Gulf War because they were afraid they're going to start dumping sarin nerve gas. But again, nobody calls it fluorine nerve gas. Good news here. The Russian Orthodox Church has officially opposed compulsory vaccinations of children. I like that. First and foremost, concern for the welfare of children, including their health, is entrusted by God to their parents. The state and society should respect the priority of legal rights and parental rights. It is well known that along with the risk of infectious diseases, there's also a serious risk of complication, even death, as a result of prophylactic vaccination. In such a situation, it is the patient himself who should make that choice. In the case of a child, the parents should make the choice. No one has the right to make this choice for them. The parents have that right. Certain legislators in Russia have proposed new laws that would make vaccines mandatory in Russia. However, because it is so difficult for them to get things done without the input of the Russian Orthodox Church, they're having a hard time getting this done, making it difficult for dissenting parents to opt out for vaccinating their children, but it looks like they won't be able to do it. In response to this overstep, the Russian Orthodox Church has released a statement publicly opposing the proposed legislation and encouraging the Russian lawmakers not to implement it. Guys, it's so important that we understand that this push for immunizations is global. It's happening all over the United States. And the sad part about it is, guys, it's not going to go away. This is a fight they're not going to stop. And until we get rid of their immunity with the 1986 vaccine laws that Reagan signed, and we make them accountable for the vaccines and what the vaccines do to us, they're not going to ever stop making this junk. They're not going to do it. They're not going to stop making this stuff because they don't have to. They're going to continue to put this stuff into us and make huge amounts of money and try to force this on all of us on a regular basis. By the way, in England right now, we have now had a big flying soldier arrives at a Bastille Day parade at 118 miles per hour on a Back to the Future style hoverboard. This is in France, by the way, not England. As Macron shows off France's military innovation in front of world leaders, including Angela Merkel. Frank Zappa, 40, brandished an unloaded rifle as he raced 118 miles per hour above the world leaders in Paris today. Mr. Zapata calls his invention the Flyboard Air and admits it is similar to a hoverboard used by Marty McFly, the Back to the Future programs. Earlier, Macron was booed. Boo Macron, ruling France like a French, like a Greek god, was booed during the Bastille Day celebrations by protesters from the Yellow Vest movement that is still going on. He was hosting EU leaders, including Jean-Claude Juncker and Angela Merkel, who continues to shake violently, by the way, for the 4th July 14th celebration in Paris. Now, also, I want to say one thing. I'm just going to go out on a limb on this one because this is going to be a little commentary from Ted. They're saying now that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to the gym every day and working out. Okay. Now we're having some of the top people involved around her are coming out and saying that this isn't Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that she died, and that we basically have a double in her place. You know, guys, here's the thing about all of this stuff. You know, Saddam Hussein had multiple doubles running around all the time. People that had been surgically altered to look like him, you know, with voice box implants or whatever they're capable of doing now, who knows. The crazy thing about this is I personally have a great amount of doubt as to which Ruth Bader Ginsburg that we have sitting on the Supreme Court right now. You say, well, Ted, that sounds really way out there. I didn't say it didn't sound way out there, but I did. But guys, she's working out in the gym every day. She's like 90 years old, and she's like had multiple bouts of cancer. I mean, really? No, I don't think so. I believe that we're dealing with something else with this. Now, Steve Quayle might say that it would be a clone. I don't know about all that. But, you know, all I know is this. It sure does seem weird to me that she's going to the gym and working out, and she never bothered to do that her whole life. It's almost like somebody else has taken her place. Way out there, I know I'm just saying it. I'm not saying that it's true. I'm just saying that it's strange that we've got this lady that was a death door multiple times, suddenly, I mean, couldn't even stay awake during meetings, suddenly she's running around and going to the gym. Something seems really weird here. By the way, had an Ebola outbreak in the Congo. It's now spread to a city where 1 million people live in an epidemic that has killed 1,600. Health ministers confirmed a pastor was infected after visiting Butembo. They raced to find and vaccinate other travelers on his bus. It has been feared since the outbreak began that Ebola would reach Goma. Authorities have urged calm among more armed attacks on treatment centers. Of course, the reason they're getting attacked at treatment centers is when they come in and vaccinate these people, they have Ebola outbreaks. Two health workers have been murdered after months of threats. Guys, this whole thing with Ebola is another psychop. This thing is something that they've worked on through Fort Detrick. This is a weaponized virus, and they're doing everything they can to try to dial it in for maximum kill rates. And so when you see this kind of stuff, they're keeping it at the back of your mind for one reason and one reason only, that when they come out with a, oh my gosh, Ebola is out there, everybody has to be vaccinated, listen to me, that they're going to want you to run to the vaccine centers to get shot up with what, who knows what. This is what they're doing. All these are little bitty psychops. Oh my gosh, we had vaccination. Everybody on the bus with them got vaccinated now. And so they're telling you what they want you to do. They're telling you this subconsciously. So once you hear Ebola's in the United States, you've got to run to get vaccinated. And I guarantee you, 90% of the sheeple in the United States will run to a center. Hundreds of millions of people will run to a center to be shot up with who knows what. And they'll probably end up coming down with Ebola from this, whatever they get shot up with. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just telling you guys that, you know, I don't trust these clowns. You know, with $160 million already paid out this year alone in vaccine compensation funds to the American population, with close to $5 billion being paid out overall, with people with brain-damaged children, and people still to say, oh, they don't hurt anybody, there's no risk with immunizations. Are you kidding me? Why have they paid out $5 billion, and why is $160 million already paid out this year if nobody's getting hurt? I don't know. It's all a bunch of lies, guys. And so until they figure out how to give us clean vaccines, my response is going to always be, I'm going to pass on that. So you guys just go ahead and make your own decision on what you want to do with all this. But as for me and my house, we're going to be taking iodine, vitamin C, vitamin E. We're going to be taking D3, K2. We're going to be taking all of these things to get the immune system really, really strong, astragalus, if any of this stuff ever shows up around here. And I'm not going to be running around in public. If we have a massive outbreak of Ebola in the United States, Ted's going to be homebound for a long, long time. I just thought I'd mention all of that to you guys. What do you think, Austin? What's your next story?
Well, yeah, and I mean, the thing about it is, too, this is interesting because this got a little bit of coverage about 3 months ago, and we've heard zero on it. Remember, almost 3 months ago, there were like two or three big news articles that came out and said Merck & Co. has been working on the Ebola vaccine, and they have a 97% success rate with it right now. It's being supported by the World Health Organization. It's being supported by the UN. It's this new unlicensed, untested vaccine from Merck, and it has a 97% cure rate on it. Well, what happened with that, guys? That was supposed to fix everything, right? They were ranting and raving about it in the article, and all of a sudden we were supposed to have this massive reduction in Ebola outbreaks and the 97% cure. You got a 97% cure rate, you got 100 people, 97 people get the shot, only 3 people die. That should drop the rate of Ebola down exponentially. But we didn't see that, did we? We saw it go up. We saw it go up exponentially. Now we see it drop and kick over to another country. Now we're seeing reports of it in the United States coming through Mexico. Now we're seeing even more outbreaks in other countries in Africa. How odd is that? How odd is that? This random vaccine that allegedly is supposed to be so good, and this untested, unlicensed vaccine they're testing in a different country, now all of a sudden has a 97% cure rate, but then nobody gets cured. The growth rate actually goes up with people getting Ebola. Just thought I would add into that on that, because this is something that's very strange. I think this has been in the works for years. You guys already know that the CDC owns the patent to Ebola, which just reading the whole article and reading the patent numbers on it and everything about that is, it almost just gives me goosebumps. Like, it's just creepy knowing that the Center for Disease Control based out of Atlanta owns the patent for Ebola and anything up to 70% Ebola. That's just weird, guys. I mean, that's just straight up weird. And then you see it constantly having these random outbreaks all over Africa and all these random, untested, unlicensed vaccines getting tested over there. Remember, that's where a lot of this stuff is tested. Bill Gates, all these big guys, these big vaccine proponents, because there's no regulatory laws in Africa. They can do whatever they want. They can test out any vaccine they want, and if 1,000 people die about it, they just make sure media coverage doesn't get it. I mean, heck, you see a lot of these Muslims over there in northern Africa, they'll go wipe out 400, 500, 600 Christians in one weekend in a village. You never see media talk about it. Hear a couple alternative hosts that actually get some coverage over there, and they hear about it, and nobody talks about it. But, you know, you hear one incident in New Zealand or Australia with somebody getting shot, you know, we have to ban all the guns. We have to ban them overnight. Nobody should be able to have guns. You know, okay. What about all the AK-47s that we help illicitly transfer to Africa so they could wipe out 500 Christians in a village? We don't talk about that. We don't talk about that at all. Okay. Just want to check. So we're arming the populations we want to be armed so they continue to have war and conflict in countries that we can control the resources on. But when the general population of the United States wants to stay armed and protect their country and protect their family, given to us under the Second Amendment, that's unacceptable. You can't do that. We need to ban those firearms. It's the concept of the communists that they're trying to push and they want people to adopt. Just thought I would add in on that. Also, too, in other news as well, more and more reports are coming out now about Sweden and people getting implants in their hands to replace cash and credit cards. They've been saying that, you know, a couple thousand here, a couple thousand there. More and more and more in Sweden now it's becoming popular, which I find ironic because, you know, Sweden has pretty much turned into this massive dumping pot of migrants from the Middle East and Africa and all these other places. Sweden just pretty much takes in as many as they want. They've got full-blown Muslim ghettos in there now. They can't even control firebombs, pipe bombs, car bombs, shootings, knifings on a daily occurrence now in some of the areas over in Sweden. And again, now it seems to be the beta test for bringing in the microchip planning so you don't have to have cash or credit cards with you. And they're saying it is for your protection because now if you get in a conflict with a group of migrants, you don't have a wallet or a credit card or cash on you anymore. They essentially have to try to figure out where your microchip is implanted on your body and try to cut it out if they want to use it. So they're saying it's much more secure to be chipped in Sweden, and it's for your protection because they've allowed these migrants to come in unfettered and unrestricted to take over Sweden, and so now it's for your protection to get chipped so they can monitor anything and everything you do. This will, mark my words, guys, this will be tying in with the Libra, Facebook, Bitcoin, or whatever variation they come about of it. That's the next thing they're coming out with, because the only way to get a full-blown digital Bitcoin or digital cryptocurrency on board for them to control is they're going to have to get people to digitally use it on daily transactions. Remember that, because if they don't, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Libra, whatever you want to call the name for it, it's only going to be as good as online transactions are, whatever people buy online. If people still want to buy with cash and coin and even credit card in person, there's not much they can do about it. Remember when they went to the chips? Everybody's got them now. Every credit card's got a chip now. There's not a single card swipe that you can use anymore now that I have found anywhere. It's all chips. And if it's old card, maybe it's an old card that's about to expire. But 99% of credit cards that I've witnessed and I've talked to people about are all chips now. That's because they wanted to get the chip technology into the stores, into the supermarkets, into the Walmarts, so the chip technology is already in these things. The next thing they have now are the little scanners where you can tap your card on it, and it scans it right off the chip. I've already seen those now, too. The next thing it'll be is a little wrist insert where you'll put your wrist on it, and it's going to scan. They're going to make it so buttery smooth. It's going to slide right in, and nobody's even going to realize it happened until you start seeing people at the store in front of you putting their wrist down to scan their wrist for the transaction. That's how close we are now with the RFID technology. It's already being used. The chip technology, it's already at the stores, and the cryptocurrency that Facebook and all these companies are already starting to support that.
You know, Austin, the mark of the beast is upon us. It is there. By the way, PayPal, founder Peter Thiel, who likes the transfusion of young people's blood, demands that the FBI and CIA investigate Google, as he claims it's been infiltrated by Chinese, here we go again, intelligence, complete lies, and slams firm's treasonous decision to work with the Chinese military and cancel U.S. defense contract. Wow. So, you know, think about what he's saying for a second. But again, remember we had one of the top show hosts in America a couple of years ago say the Chinese had taken over Hollywood too. Yeah, that's we found that out wasn't true too, wasn't it? But you also need to remember though, the Rothschilds have a central bank in China. Very important you understand that and remember that. The Rothschilds also control the money printing in China and the economies in China and the M1 money supply in China. Just let you know that the Rothschilds, the international bankers, like Henry Ford said, sooner or later, if you dig deep enough, you find one of these clowns at the bottom of the pile, are still very, very much in control in all of these major countries. That's why they're so adamant about taking over North Korea, so adamant about taking over Iran, so adamant about taking over Syria, so they can put their central banks in all of these different countries, which we've talked about many times on the show. Guys, I love you. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I had the opportunity to pray for you again this morning, and it means so much to me to be able to do that. I mean, I had another one of my friends, one of you guys called me up, and his wife's going in for surgery tomorrow, laparoscopic surgery. I prayed for them too already this morning. And I thank you. I want to thank you that you trust me for your, with your prayers. And when you ask me to pray for you, I always do. And I just want you to know that I really believe that God answers prayers. I mean, I've prayed so many times, and I've seen such tremendous answers of prayer. It's amazing what God can do through any of us. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I'll do the write-up, Austin, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. These are the things that we continue to try to bring up on the show, bring up just the stuff nobody else wants to talk about, really, guys. And I mean, we've tried to bring so many pieces of the puzzle together to put this in a clear picture so everybody can realize what's going on and so we can try to make some type of difference to either slow it down or provide a resistance. Because, you know, I get some people and they're like, well, it doesn't matter what we do. They're going to do this anyways. They're going to do that anyways. That may be true. We do know the book of Revelations is going to happen eventually. There's no timeline on when that's actually going to happen. So my aspect of it is, why not at least fight the best we can? Because to lay down and die and essentially submit to a new world order means you're capitulating and you're giving into it. And I don't feel that that's something that's, nor is it Christian, nor is it something that I think is even smart to do. Because at a point in time, we're all going to have to deal with what happens here, and we're going to have to deal with everything that happened. And I don't ever want to look back and go, well, yeah, I just sat there and just, you know, pretended it didn't happen. I knew it was going on, but I didn't want to talk about it. I was scared to bring it up. I didn't want to offend anybody. So as far as I'm concerned, we get the truth out there. We get the news out there. We get our friends, our family, our listeners, our customers, all of you together. The more people we can wake up, the more we can do, just like with the cash, the RFID chips. Use cash. I use cash all the time still. You go somewhere, use cash. If there's always a demand, there will always be a demand for cash. They cannot get rid of it completely. So that's something just to look at and understand when you're dealing with a lot of this stuff right now. Also, too, in other news, be sure to check out the product of the week at healthmasters.com. You guys know we let everybody vote on it. The potassium iodide is on sale right now. And also, too, the ultimate multiple capsules on their super summer sale for 20% off. Be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com. You guys have an absolutely awesome, safe night, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.